Good morning. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning. I want to thank Spruce Lake for having me out this week. It's been a blessing. The blessing has truly been mine. I want to thank all of you for coming out to these Bible studies in the morning. And I want to thank you for the opportunity that I had on campus to meet a lot of you personally, one-on-one. And it's been wonderful to meet new brothers and sisters in Christ. And it truly has been my blessing. It really, really has. Thank you. Thank you. I started this week with, so they give me a year to prepare for this, a year, right? So I didn't take a year to prepare, six messages because I spoke on Sunday. But it took a year, to prayerfully consider the topic, blah, blah, blah. I finally settled on my identity in Christ except for Sunday. And I had these five wonderful messages that the Lord just put in my heart. I felt really good about it. I only used two of them. A year. Did I mention a year to prepare these messages? And the only two that I used, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and today, were all done in the afternoon after I left each service. So I got to my room and I prayed about it. And I was just uncomfortable about it. Lord, I'm not feeling that because I got to meet the people and I was, I speak like a pastor in that I want to know my congregation. I want to know the needs of my congregation. I'm going to pray over those needs and then speak on that. And that's what happened. So this was put together yesterday after 2 o'clock and in the early morning hours, and I thank God for that. So just know that. So on Monday, we spoke, the topic this week has been my identity in Christ. On Monday, we spoke about finding my identity. On Tuesday, we spoke about controlling our thoughts and our minds. On Wednesday, we spoke about seeking the Lord for our decisions. On Thursday, yesterday, we spoke about our identity with sin and sin in our lives. And the final one today, I had this message on second chances, and that's not happening. I'm speaking on a deeper subject. It's my identity with my depression. And I don't want to finish on a somber note. It's taking the stairway from depression to victory. Amen? Taking the stairway from depression to victory. Because I think it's a line. It's going to join. They're going to join each other. Okay? So we're going to read from Psalm chapter 42. And 43. We're not going to cover both chapters fully, but there's verses from both chapters that we will cover. So if you would turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 42 and 43. So yesterday when we spoke about sin, we spoke about how Paul, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 specifically, shared his struggle with sin and he was open about it. That even though he was a man of God, that even though he was a Christian, even though he was the Apostle Paul, he still struggled with that in his life. And here, we're going to talk about how David, King David, a man after God's own heart, a godly man, had his own sins to deal with. But at the end of the day, he truly loved the Lord, and he struggled with depression. With depression, he did. How many of us, and I don't want you to raise your hands, I just want you to where you're at, okay? Have you ever been depressed about something? Have you ever been depressed and you don't know what you're depressed about? Have you been there? You know what I'm talking about? Like you go through a deep depression in your life or a struggle in your life, and sometimes there's reasons for it. Sometimes there's a reason or something happened, but sometimes you just feel this depression that comes over you and you can't figure it out and you're trying to struggle to get out of it. And here, the psalmist David was going through a similar thing. So if we could, let's just start with verses 1 to 5. 1 to 5. It says, and I this guy, I just love the word, how expressive it is. I want you to read the word, but read the word with feeling, with emotion. Feel their emotion as they read this. And he goes, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants, O God, for God. Pants. To pant is, you're panting. You're out of breath. You need water. You're thirsty. And he goes, you know, as the deer pants for streams of water after he finished running through the woods, and he's panting because he's thirsty, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. He goes, where can I go and meet with God? In verse 3, he says, my tears have been my food day and night while men say to me all day long, where is your God? Verse 4, these things I remember as I pour my soul, how I used to go to the multitude leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. And then this is the key verse, verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And he comes back and he says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Amen. This verse 5 is repeated in verse 5, verse 11, and in Psalm 43, verse 5. Three times in these two chapters, he repeats this exact phrase. So it was a lot. It was heavy in his heart that he was struggling with depression. And family, depression is really important too. Depression can happen at any age. You can have young kids. Teens really struggle with depression, a lot of depression. My wife is a middle school teacher, and there are kids, again, may the God be with our children, but the amount of kids that try to commit suicide, the amount of kids that suffer with identity, the amount of kids that suffer with depression, it's horrible, horrible. And it doesn't get easier as we become adults. You know what I mean? We struggle. We go through these type of things, and it's a really, really difficult place to be. But I'm grateful that the psalmist David was able to take time to express his depression. One of the most difficult times in my life, and I'm sure I've been very open with you about my life and about where I'm at, been at, going, all that. And one of the most difficult times for me, when I was 37 years old, I was working for a company that I needed to make more money. I had two boys, my wife, we were trying to pay a new mortgage, and I just wasn't making enough money. My wife at the time was not a principal. She was still studying school. And I got a better job at a place called American Bank Note in Horsham, Pennsylvania. American Bank Note made, what some of you may remember, they produced the American Express checks. Remember American Express checks? You used to travel without them all the time, right? They don't make them anymore. And they made the money order, you know, for those of you who still use money orders, all right? So they produced money orders and the American Express band checks. So the place was like Fort Knox, you know, because basically we were producing money. And I was hired as the head estimator for American Bank Note. It was a job that paid me like $20,000 more a year than what I was making. It was a lot of money. And that was 25 years ago. It was a lot more money, you know? Came home, told my wife, I'm excited about my new job. But when I went to the interview, before I got the job, I said to the president of the company, I said, look, I am a Christian, and I am very open about my faith. No matter where I go, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. He got real quiet, and I said, what does that mean to me? Well, what that means to you is, you know, I'm not going to, you know, hand out flyers all day long. I'm going to do my job, but it's who I am, number one. Number two, I'm a prison chaplain, so I need to be at prison during the week, you know, once or twice a week. I am an associate minister at my church, so Sunday mornings, I can't work on Sunday mornings, so if any of that is a problem, then we have a problem. He goes, no, that sounds fair to me. I think you're going to do a great job. I came home, told my wife, this is great. So I started working there. The first month, they sent me for training. I never went to the prison, never went to a church service, working 7 days a week from 7 in the morning till 7 at night for a month. Well, at the end of the month, you know, I felt like this was going to continue, and I went to the president of the company, and I said, hey, how you doing? Things been great, you know, but I just want to tell you, you know, this has got to slow down a little bit because I haven't been to my prison service, and I haven't been to my Bible studies. I haven't been to church, you know, and I see very little of my family because when I got home, my kids are sleeping. And he goes, well, that's your problem, not mine. And boy, I'll tell you what. I said, excuse me? He goes, yep, that's your problem, not mine. So get back to work. And if you can't handle it, then get out. And it wasn't because I was doing a good job. It's just that's the deception I fell under. I didn't realize this guy was just not Mr. Nice Guy. Well, I heard, okay. So I went home and I told my wife, and I got upset about it because now we got used to this kind of an income. You know, we had paid a lot of bills. It was good. And I got into a deep depression. depression. Into 6-7 weeks into this job, I was depressed. And for a week, I didn't read my Bible. I didn't pray. I was angry with God. I was in a deep depression. I didn't stop believing. I just got into this, oh, Lord, why would you put me in this situation? I can't. I don't see my kids. I don't see my wife. I'm not in church. Like, why would you do this to me? And after a week, my Latina Puerto Rican wife, who don't put up with a lot, said, that's enough. I'm like, oh, here we go. I say, no, that's enough. And she goes, I'm going to do something about it. I said, what are you going to do about it? He goes, I'm going to go in prayer with the Lord. And I'm like, oh, boy. So she got up for a week. She got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, every morning, and she would go downstairs, and I would hear her on her knees calling out to God, screaming out to God, saying, Lord, you know my husband. You know he's a man of God. I could hear her prayers over me. And it made me weep. It humbled me, you know, because she just wanted the best for me. And she's not used to seeing me like this. She saw how depressed I got. And she did that every morning for a week. And it made me angry because I wasn't praying. And I wasn't in the mood to pray. And I was like, oh, my Lord, I can't believe you. And then after the fifth day, she comes upstairs and she goes, it's done. What's done? She goes, it was a Friday. She goes, you're going to have a job by next Wednesday. And I said, oh, God, she lost her mind. She has lost her mind. I said, next Wednesday. I said, sweetheart, love of my life, my dear. Yeah. It's Friday. That's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So you're telling me in 5 days. He goes, yep, the Lord put it in my heart. You're going to have a job by Wednesday. I said, oh, Lord, we're going to lose our faith. She kept praying, and what she did that Friday is she asked me, what are the top 5 companies that you want to work for? And I gave her the names of the companies that I knew. What are the top 2? Well, the top 2 were called Automation Aids in Fort Washington and Innovative Printing in Collegeville. And she goes, okay. So she sent out my resumes. I did nothing. She prepared them. She typed them out. She sent letters out for me. She did everything. I was still depressed. It was Saturday. She goes, are you excited about Wednesday? You just mailed them out yesterday, sweetheart. Relax. It was Sunday. I can't wait till Wednesday. I'm like, oh, my Lord. It was Monday. She goes, are you excited about Wednesday? I haven't even been on an interview. I said, sweetheart, now I just need to be careful, okay? Monday night, she says, hun, it's going to happen this Wednesday. I said, sweetheart, I have not been on an interview. Tuesday, I went to work. I got home. 2 messages on my answering machine. Who do you think they were? 2 messages. One was Automation Aids in Fort Washington. Can you come in tomorrow for an interview? Can I come in on Wednesday for an interview? The other one was Innovative Printing. Can you come in tomorrow for an interview? Are you kidding me? In my answering machine, those of you who remember answering machines, we don't use them anymore, my answering machine. She looks at me and she goes, are you excited? I said, you're crazy. I said, you're crazy. I'm just telling you, you're crazy. And the next day I went on the interview. I went to Automation Aids at 10 o'clock in the morning. I met with him. The guy says, yeah, we'll get back to you in a week. You know, because who hires on the spot, right? I was like, yeah, I figured. It ain't going to happen if it happens for a week, right? No problem. I got home. I called my wife up. The interview went good, but they said it'd be a week. I says, yeah, yeah. Then she goes, it's going to be Innovative. I'm like, yeah, hon. Okay. So I went to the interview for Innovative at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I knew the guy because he was a customer of mine. Hey, Bob, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. He goes, yeah, how you been? Where's your salary at? He goes, yeah. He goes, I don't know where I need you, but I need you here somewhere, man. I'm trying to run this company. You got a lot of background. He goes, when can you start? He goes, what's the matter? He goes, I'm not going to get into it. I got a long testimony about my wife. I said, what do you mean, when can I start? When can you start? I said, I can start today. Then start today. You have the job. You can start tomorrow. You want to give your 2-week notice? I said, no, I don't. I hate this place. I don't want to give a 2-week notice. And he goes, well, give a 2-week notice because it's the right thing to do, but you have the job. And I got home, and I remember walking through the door. My wife ran up to me. She goes, you got the job, right? Which job did you get? I'm like, oh, my God. I said, I got the Innovative job. Ah! And she starts praising the Lord and hallelujah and screaming and praising the Lord. Amen. I thank God for a spouse who's strong when I'm not strong. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for a partner who is there when I can't be there, and we need to be there for each other. Amen. And when your wife is weak, then you be strong. And when you are weak, let her be strong. But let us help each other and be that place, because we can go through those kind of depressions, and it's not easy. Amen? It's not easy. Point number two, spend time alone with the Lord. And that's what my wife did. In verse 6, it says, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, and from the Mount Mazar, deep calls to deep in the roar of the waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. He's still downcast. He's trying to remember what's going on. He knows he needs to come to the Lord. He knows he needs to call on God. And it's in those times, in our quiet places, when we're trying to ask ourselves why we're depressed and why we're going through this, that we need to call on him. Verse 9 of this same chapter says, I say to my God, to my rock, why have you forsaken me? Why must I go about mourning this oppression? Verse 10 says, my bones suffer mortal agony, and my foes taunt me, saying to me all day, where is your God? Family, I don't know the circumstances that cause sometimes our depressions. Sometimes it depends on where we're at in our life, and sometimes it's because we think, you know, we haven't accomplished enough. You know, Lord, I thought I'd be further along at this age in my life, at this stage in my life. And it depresses us that we're not there yet, that we don't have the material things, or we don't have the house we want, or we don't have the things yet. But God's got a purpose. But it can depress us. Sometimes it's our health. Lord, why am I going through this? Why am I sick? Why do I have this disease? Why do I have this illness in my life? And I don't know, but God's going to use it for his glory. Amen. And there's a season for that. Sometimes it's our circumstances. Lord, you know, maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you lost a job or something happened serious in your life. And I don't know. It could be a lot of things that happen. But know this, that God knows what you're going through. And he understands you're upset. He knows your depression. And he wants to take you out of it. But you got to continue to trust him. In Psalm 125, verse 1 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. They stand and will not fall forever. Amen? That's who we are. We're like strong in the Lord, those who trust in the Lord. Point number three, affirm your faith and walk with the Lord. In Psalm 43, we're going to jump to the next chapter, Psalm 43, in verses 3 and 4. He says, and I want you to, if it's possible, mark this in your Bibles. This is encouraging. So he's going through all this depression. Why have you rejected me? My enemies have oppressed me. And then he goes to verse 3. He says, send forth your light and your truth and let them guide me, Lord. This is his prayer. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. You know, they will go. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my what? My joy. To God, my delight, and I will praise you with a harp. Oh, God, oh, my God. You know, he enters into a different phase. He's going through this depression, and then he sweeps into a different place where he's feeling it from the Lord, and he says, Lord, send me forth to your light, to your truth. Guide me. Bring me to the place where I first believe. Restore the joy, you know, of my salvation. I praise you, Lord. We need to get back to that place, Lord. Even in the midst of the difficult circumstances and depression, we need to continue to sing and shout and trust the Lord even during those times. I asked two people to read a verse. First one is 1 Peter 1, 6 to 8, please. Thank you. And Peter, we're reading here that for a little while you may go through these trials. It's to strengthen your faith. It's because it's worth more than gold. Those with pearls, even refined fire. The result is praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And it finishes this, the last verse, verse 8 says, says, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. There's sorrow at night, but there'll be joy in the morning. Amen? There will. There is light on the other side. It is going to happen. We just need to continue to trust him with this. We need to continue to believe that he can do this. And the other verse was Romans 8:37. Lorraine. Amen. No, in all these things, we're more than what? Conquerors. Everyone say conquerors. Family, we are more than conquerors through Christ. We are more than conquerors. Amen. We have victorious life to live. Through him, we have that. Through him, we have a peaceful life. Isaiah 30:15. Overflowing life. John 7. A joyful life. John 15. A liberated life. Romans 6:7, a triumphant life, 2 Corinthians 2:14, a loving life, 1 John 2:5. And one of my favorite verses, John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen? That is the word of the Lord. That is the word of the Lord. As you know, I go to a prison. I did 10 years at Greaterford State Prison with some of the worst criminals in the world. Most of the guys at Greaterford, and women, at Greaterford State Prison were, it was one of the hardest prisons in the country. Most people in this prison were not getting out. They were murderers, rapists, some of the hardest criminals in the world. And I left because it was too much, to be honest with you. I left because there was a 17-year-old that came down to one of my services in chains, in his hands and in his feet. And because he accidentally shot a cop during a robbery in the great state of Pennsylvania, when you shoot a cop, you get the electric chair. You get life sentence. And he was in my service, and he was crying, and he accepted Christ, and I prayed over him, and I came home, and I was a mess. And my wife said, yeah, you're not doing that anymore. Because I was coming home weeping too much. So I prayed the Lord, and I left my partner that was going with me, Jerry Cardona, and he still goes there. And I went to Bucks County Prison instead, and that's where I've been for 25 years. It's a minimum security prison where everybody can do a month to 2 to 3 years, and that's where I go. So when I started going to the Bucks County Prison, one guy came down, another guy came down. You know, we're trying to build up the service. And one of the guys that got saved, man, he just got all out for Jesus. I'm not kidding. This guy was like sold out. And we grew our group from 1 to 2 to 3 to 5. They gave me a little room, and it grew so much. Then they gave me a bigger room, and they could only fit 30 people, 30, 35 people. And he was bringing them. He was the one bringing them. You know, he was sharing the gospel. He was, and this happened in a period. He was doing like a 2-year sentence. And this grew. He was a vital part. He was my deacon. He was my assistant pastor in the prison. You know, this guy was unbelievable, giving Bible studies and everything. And then his time to leave was coming up. And he came and he prayed, I'm getting out. I'm going to court next Friday. They're going to dismiss me. My time is done. And he said, but I'm sad. And I said, why are you sad? He goes, because God is using me so much here. I'm not sure I'm ready to leave. Can you imagine doing a 2-year prison sentence and not being sure if you're ready to leave? You'd have to be pulling me to get out of that place. See, it's a prison. And he went into a depression about it. I said, are you kidding me? He goes, aren't you excited to see your family? He goes, nah, I'm excited to see my family and it's all that. But don't you see what God is doing here? I'm like, yeah, but you're getting out. So the following week, when I came to the service, it was a Tuesday night, he was there. And the room filled by 30, 35 guys. And he came up, and he sat down, and I'm looking at him, but there were too many guys talking to me, so I couldn't talk to him. We're ready to start the service. And I said, does anybody, now, this is important. I'm in the service with a friend of mine named Paul. Paul is an ex-vet and military guy, army guy. And he's sitting here. He even had army fatigues, okay? He's a tough guy, strong guy. And he came with me to the prison. So I said, does anybody have a word of testimony? Anybody? Because I always start like that. Anybody have a word of testimony? Well, he gets up. Yeah, I got a testimony. I said, I can't wait to hear it. And he goes, well, I went to the court hearing last week. I go, anybody's listening, they all know him. And he said, the judge said I had to stay another 3 months. And I said, praise the Lord, because that's what I prayed for. Well, there were new guys that had come in. And the one guy in the back said, now, I'm going to be really careful with my words because there was a lot of cursing going on at this point. And he got up and he said, what the blank are you talking about? And another guy started, you know, and he said, well, it's not that. It's just that I felt like God needed me here, and I'm happy to still be here for a couple more months until it's God's time for me to leave. Well, the guy started cursing at him. He was angry. Three or four guys. This guy. I turned to my buddy Paul, and he's praying. I said, Paul, this ain't no time to pray. This ain't no time to pray, Paul. I was scared out of my mind. There's no guards in the room. There's 35 inmates. I'm by myself. And I'm doing this, Paul. He said, Jim, stop. I said, Paul, we're going to die. Get up. He's got us. I'm serious. He's like this. Jesus, Lord Jesus, you know what's going on in this place. I said, Paul, get up. And I'm serious. I was angry with him. I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm on my own here. Okay. All right. So I'm trying to stop. These two guys are about to get into a fight. I mean, literally into a physical fight. They're in each other's face. I step between them. I'm like, oh, Lord have mercy. And I said, guys, listen. If you continue, I will not be able to ever come back. I mean it. I won't come back. They respected me, these guys, you know. They're like, okay. And they stop. And they calm down. I said, Paul, thanks for nothing. You know what I mean? He's standing there praying. And when it stopped, the guy got up again. He said, listen. I just want to be obedient to what God wants in my life. The guy who started the cursing got up. And I said, don't you start on me again. He goes, no. This is what he said. He goes, he points to the guy who's saying it. He points to the guy who cursed points to the guy who said it. He says, I want some of that. I said, excuse me? He goes, I want some of that. I said, you want some of that? He goes, yeah, whatever he's got. He says, I want some of that. I said, well, there's a whole lot of that here. Thank you, Paul. Then I thank Paul. Thank you, Paul. He looks up. He's praying. Because I know it was those prayers of interceding that made that happen. And I said, I never preached. I never taught that whole class. I never taught one thing. And I just said, I shared how he came to Christ and what happened in his journey. And I said, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? And he goes, yeah, man. He was a big dude. He was like 6'3". He's a big guy. And he comes walking up to the front. I couldn't get the words out of my mouth. 30 men gave their lives to Christ that Tuesday. 30 men came up. One after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. Now I said, Paul, would you like to help me? Then he finally got up. And we're laying hands, we're praying the sinner's prayer and just inviting God to do his thing. And I think about the work that God did. I don't know how our depression sometimes works, and I don't know what purpose God has in it. But if we wait long enough, we'll see what God can do with it. Amen. We'll see. We really will. We'll see victory on the other side. We will. We really, really will. Point number four, Philippians 3, 12 and 13. Philippians 3, 12 and 13. I'm going to read it. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I always say it's my favorite passage in the Bible, and ultimately the whole Bible is my favorite, but I really do love this passage. The book of Philippians says, not that I already have obtained it, but I press on and take hold of Christ Jesus. I don't consider myself have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me, straining toward ahead, the Bible says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me in Christ Jesus. Finishing is the most important part. Amen? He says, forgetting what? The past. Family, don't let depression be part of your past. It's the past. And some of it has hurt, and some of it has gone, but it's time to deal with the present and move forward. Amen? Let's move forward. Let's move forward. The past is the past, and we'll learn from it, and we'll grow through it. And this, I want to finish with this illustration. So, brother, can you stand for a second? Come on. All right. So, your name again?
Chad.
Okay, Chad. Chad, I'm Jim, right? So, Chad and Jim, right? So, this is me in my journey, right? Chad represents the finish line, all right? The ultimate goal, getting to Christ, all right? You with me? All right? So here I am, and here, let's say I need a job. Let's just use that. I need a job. Lord, I need a job. Now, if God wanted to, could he give me a job like this? Could he? Yes? Yeah, he could do this. Woo, I finished. I got a job. I'm good. Thank you, Jesus. Do we all want that? Yeah, we want that. Come on, don't lie. You know you want that. But what happens ultimately is this. I need a job. I get an interview. It fails. Nothing's happening. Oh, I don't know what to do. I fall down. I try to get to the goal. I don't know if I can go on. I go back. I remember from behind. I remember my past, and I start going the wrong way. But I got to remember the future, that God's in control and that he's got this. And if I fall, I got to get back up. And if another brother falls, I got to help him get back up. And he helps me get back up, because we're trying to finish the race and we're running it together. Amen? We're trying to get it running together. And when we finally get there, we can celebrate. But here's the key, family, that what happens between me and the finish line, what happens in here in this journey, this is where we grow. Are you with me? We need this, because this is where we grow. If the Lord did this every time, if the Lord just did this every single time and did not allow me to go through this, then there is no growth. There's no growth. The journey is the growth. Remember that. When you're going through the difficult time in your life, when things seem to overwhelm you, when you wonder why this is happening, why am I so depressed, why is this so difficult, remember that you're going through growth, and that God's growing you and maturing you into the child of God that he knows you can be. And know this, that we will finish the race, amen? Here's the best part about this race, family. It's not a race to see who's first or second or third. It's about finishing. There's a lot of people in the kingdom that say, well, I'm ahead of you, or, you know, he's ahead of you. I don't care, because I just want to finish the race. Hallelujah. That's it. When we get to heaven, I don't care if you're all ahead of me. As long as I cross that finish line and see beautiful Chad over here, I'm good. Thank you, Chad. Because I just want to finish the race. In the meantime, I'll understand the journey and grow through it. Amen? Thank you, Father. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord, that even when we go through difficult times, depression, sadness, that there is joy in the morning. Thank you, Father, that you're our Savior, Lord. If we haven't told you in a while, Lord, I think it's important that you hear it today. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Can you say it with me? Say, I love you, Jesus. Say it with me. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Let him know that he needs to hear that too. Love you, Lord, because I know you love me, Lord, and gave your son for it, Lord. So thank you, Father. Help me through my depression. Help me through my difficult times. Help me through this journey to get to the other side and reach victory in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day, family. Thank you. Amen.